Good morning, folks, and welcome to another COVID conversation. My name is Justin, and with me is Rob.
Howdy.
Today, we thought it would be a good idea to maybe talk about working through some of the things like discerning information, working through information, and working through knowledge and wisdom, and all the things, in relation to all the crazy things that are going on in our country today. And I've been seeing a whole lot of dialogue on social media and in the news outlets and in my own daily conversations regarding the shelter-in-place orders, regarding government mandates, regarding COVID-19. And with that dialogue, with those conversations that I'm seeing all over the place, I'm seeing a lot of disagreement. And so we're coming here today not to tell you what to think, although it's my understanding that Rob here can tell me what to think. Can you tell me what to think?
Well, I'm not even sure what I think, so I don't know if it helps.
Well, so the idea of today is really to talk about how we can work through and chew through some of that information, how we can discern what we should be doing, and how we can do that or cautions that we can take when having those discussions with people around us. I'm a person who's on social media. You don't see me post a lot if you know me personally, but the amount of name calling and disrespectful comments and demeaning posts have been increasing. And that's not abnormal on social media, but I feel like I am inundated with that on my feed and way more than normal. It's almost as if we're in an election cycle, like a presidential election is coming up in 5 days or something. So I've been thinking a lot about how we work through all of this information that's floating around when there's a lot of misinformation and there is just a lot of different inputs coming into our lives. And so I've been thinking about a number of traps that we can fall into.
So just to clarify, is the conversation today about how we come to a conclusion ourselves or how we have a discussion with someone about it, or both?
Both.
Okay.
So the two things I really am working towards us talking about today is the first, how do we gather information, or more or less, we are gathering information. How do we sift through it and come to a conclusion?
Sure.
So how do we sift through information and come to a conclusion? And then the second is, when we come to that conclusion, how do we treat other people who come to a different conclusion than we do?
All right.
And so on that first one, when we've gathered some information, now we're trying to sift through it and come to a conclusion. I think there's really a number of traps that we can fall into when we're trying to make sense of and know how to best respond to a big topic like COVID-19. And I just want to start off by reading a few verses. In the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he says in Ecclesiastes 1:18, "For in much wisdom is much vexation. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow." And then again, at the end of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us, he says, "My son, beware of anything beyond these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." And so one of the traps we can find ourselves falling into is becoming consumed by studying what's going on, studying information regarding COVID-19, what precautions to take and whatnot. And we can get way too engrossed in trying to understand every in and out, every article that's put out, every scientific paper that we see floating around on the internet, every opinion under the sun. And I think Solomon gives us two warnings here. The first is that increase in knowledge can increase our sorrow. It can lead to depression. It can lead to despairing, and I think that's true. You know, even when we really dive into our own lives and try to look at ourselves critically, at our character and our sinful nature, we can become depressed when we see how deeply sinful we truly are. And I think that's true, too, when we start to look into topics like this. And the second is that we become weary and tired and exhausted. The more we give ourselves and become engrossed with seeking out information, we get tired. And he says that at the end of Ecclesiastes 12. And I think that weariness that can lead to shortness with people around us puts us on edge. We get angry. We get frustrated. And we just don't necessarily respond well to what's going on around us. And so I don't think Solomon is telling us gathering information is bad. Solomon was the wise, according to scripture, the wisest man to ever have lived. He wrote Proverbs, he wrote Ecclesiastes, and he just gave us all sorts of stuff to chew on. But with that, we have to recognize we have limitations as to how much we can really absorb and understand. And it reminds me of a verse in 1 Timothy 4:8, where it says, "For bodily training is of some value. Godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." And so, I mean, here it's talking about, okay, exercise. Exercise is great. Training your body is great. Running a marathon, like training for a marathon, that's great. And it has value. But godliness holds a promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And so gathering information about COVID-19 and what to do is good. It's good for us. It's strengthening of our mind and our critical thought. But it's not the be-all, end-all. Doesn't hold a promise for the life to come. And so growing in knowledge about this is good. But we have to be careful that we don't fall into the trap of becoming engrossed with seeking information on something like this.
Okay,
you look like you have a thought. Go ahead.
Well, I have a question. I think you're right, but how do we know that line? You know what I mean? How do we know when I'm looking too much? Because there's even Proverbs about, you know, Solomon also said, like in Proverbs 2, you know, "Turn your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." And that's in Proverbs 2. In Proverbs 4, you know, he says, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words. Do not forsake wisdom." Or, I'm sorry, where is it? I can't find it. Oh, here we go. "Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding." And there's this, this, you know, I agree with what you're saying, but then there's this other side where it's like, man, this is important stuff. So how do we know the line? You know what I mean? How do we know when I'm looking too hard for this stuff?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. One of the bumpers, I think, that we can find ourselves, you know, if you kind of picture this like a bowling alley and there's the bumpers up in the gutters. One of the bumpers is in Proverbs 1:7, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction." And then in Proverbs 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing for your flesh and refreshment for your bones." And I think one of those things is if we become so engrossed in understanding COVID-19 and we're not gaining knowledge to fear the Lord. We've given ourselves and put our own mind and our own thinking in the throne of our lives, and that's one of the bumpers. Is this affecting your relationship with God, or has it become a bumper to the relationship that you have with the Lord?
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of them.
Yeah, I think that's very good. And so it's almost working itself backwards in the sense that and we talked about this last conversation, maybe both conversations we've had so far, just the whole thought that God understands us better than we do. Mm. Our understanding is limited. Our control is limited for all kinds of different reasons. But being solid in that, and it's interesting, if I could just...
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Proverbs is such an interesting thing because I think Solomon in Proverbs makes a distinction between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and they're three specific things. Knowledge, I think, is gathering facts. It's information. You know, these are the facts. This is the evidence, whatever. So it's gathering information. That's knowledge. It's knowing specific things, bits of information, facts. Understanding is taking that knowledge, taking those facts, and being able to put them together in a way that makes sense. You know what I mean? So it's okay, here's all the facts, but now I can take those facts and I can make sense of them. I have understanding. It's not just – it's like a puzzle, you know. There's all these individual puzzle pieces. But then you put the pieces together, and it makes a big picture. So in that analogy, the information or knowledge is all the different pieces. Mm. Understanding is putting them together. But then there's one more thing, and that's wisdom. And I think wisdom is taking whatever degree I have of being able to understand the facts, whatever knowledge I have, whatever understanding I have, I'm going to take that and I'm going to submit it to the Lord. And wisdom is that last thing that you were talking about. Yep. It's recognizing my grasp of the facts and my ability to understand and manipulate those facts is limited. So I'm going to submit this to the Lord and let him... It's really more a character quality. Wisdom is more of a character quality based on understanding and knowledge.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. It's just if we have that, if we start from the standpoint, Lord, you understand this, and I never will completely, I think it is a bumper for us.
It's definitely one of those bumpers the bowling ball of our lives can...
Yeah.
And smack up against.
And we don't want to have the bumpers. We want to be a big boy, and I don't need the bumpers, and I can bowl without it. Well,
yep.
No, I can't.
Yeah. 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 And I think that that ties a little bit into the next trap I was thinking that we can find ourselves falling into. You know, we've come to a conclusion now, and we have some wisdom, and we think we know where to go with this. And maybe we put ourselves in our thinking, and we have come to a conclusion, and it is, quote, the right one. I've assembled the facts, I've gained understanding, and now I've come to the right conclusion. And there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 8 where it says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And now I know Paul here is speaking specifically about knowledge about idols, but I think the principle reigns true when it comes to political discourse or understanding other things going on around us. Our knowledge can puff us up.
Yes.
It can make us condescending, demeaning. It can make us rude. And
angry.
It can make us angry, especially when we think the people around us don't know as much as we do.
Yes, right.
Now, I don't think any of us would ever really say that out loud.
I might. In my sinful nature, you bet I would.
Yeah, that's fair. And a lot of us probably don't go around saying, well, I'm smarter than you are, so I'm right and you're wrong. But we may think it. And we may even think that somehow this other person, they're not hearing from the Lord because I've come to this conclusion and I'm clearly right. Or we may think, well, they're in sin because they're not really seeking the Lord, or they haven't thought about this enough. And so we can go all sorts of bad places if we let our knowledge puff us up. And there was a quote from one of the men at the Men's No Regrets conference that resonates here, and it's, information is not transformation. And the more information we gain will not transform us. It's our relationship with the Lord that ultimately does that. And so more information on this topic, COVID-19, or political discussion, or opinions about various other topics or spiritual principles, that it doesn't transform us. It refines our thinking. It helps us with our facts and our understanding, but it has the danger to puff us up, and it won't transform us apart from a growing relationship with the Lord. And so I think it's easier for us to get into this mindset of, well, I just gain more information, I'll come to the right conclusion, and I will somehow be safer, that my life will somehow go better. And there's a level of truth to that. Like, when we gain wisdom, we learn in Proverbs, when we do wise things, that it has a general outcome of good, but it's not a guarantee. And so even with studying something like COVID-19, we can come to the conclusion, well, I've gained all this information, now I know how to stay safe, I won't get this, and I'm going to enforce my understanding on everyone else around us. But the more information we gain, we have diminishing returns. Like, at some point, we've kind of reached where we're going to be, and we've got to go take this to the Lord and figure out what we're supposed to do personally.
So I have another question about that.
Sure.
I think you're right again. But, you know, one of the ways that we can take that then is to possibly not have discussions with people. In other words, just keep this to ourselves. And there's some wisdom in that, and maybe we're going to get to that. You know, Paul talks about that in Romans 14. Look, you know, if you have a conviction about something, keep it to yourself and the Lord. You don't have to. But does that mean, and in this case, do we have conversations with other people about this situation? Or is it one of the things that, you know, this is like religion and politics, you just don't have these conversations? You know what I'm asking?
Yep.
Is this something we should just keep to ourselves, or do we go ahead and engage in discussion on this stuff?
Well, I think you certainly have the freedom to zip your lips and say nothing. But I think the proverb where it talks about iron sharpening iron. And as we have discourse, dialogue, discussion about topics, iron can sharpen iron. We can also stab each other, but we can sharpen each other and point out limitations to our own thinking or to our the person we're talking with thinking, and actually start to build a bridge between each other's ideas and realize, hey, what you're saying isn't entirely wrong. Like there's good things here, and what I'm saying isn't entirely right. There's also good things here. So, okay, there's some amalgamation of our two opinions, especially in something as gray as shelter in place and government mandates. We have the ability to have a discussion here and come to a really good middle ground.
Right. Yeah, I think that's right. But it needs to be done well, and maybe we're going to get into that, how we have that conversation well.
Well, yeah.
But
Yeah, that's the second part. I was originally talking about, let's see here, gathering information, sifting through it, and coming to a conclusion being our first point, and then the second being how we treat each other.
Yeah.
I've got one more pitfall to that first one, though.
Well,
but we can go right into that.
Well, I maybe I'll just share it now.
Yeah.
Just the whole idea about iron sharpening iron, I think that's very, very true and very good. And we have to be willing to engage in these conversations for the reason that you just said. My opinion might be wrong and someone else might correct it for me. Very often, it's my opinion is not necessarily wrong. It's just limited, and someone else is going to fill in the blanks. Like just last night, we had our life group online again, and we were having a discussion. It's interesting. We're going through Romans, and we were up to Romans 13.
Yeah,
just happened to be Romans 13 where it says obey the government and respect the authorities. They're there by God. And I was, you know, that was just after I had heard that the governor has extended the stay-in-place orders, and you know, so there's an emotional response on all kinds of sides to that.
Yep.
And what happened in our life group last night is we got into a discussion about there were some churches on Easter across the country, across the state, that just basically defied the stay-at-home orders, went ahead and had full-on services. And it was so interesting to see two very different reactions to that. One being, that's just very bad and wrong, and here in Romans 13 is exactly why it's bad and wrong. Mm-hmm. There was a order by the governor, and that governor is put there by God according to these passages. You know, if you read Romans 13, it's pretty clear. There's no authority except that which God has established. Therefore, you must submit yourself to the governing authorities. That's a pretty unambiguous statement. And so there was that side of it, which I think is very true and right. But the second side of it is in Acts chapter 4, where the governing authorities told Peter and John, do not speak in this name anymore. And they said, you decide whether it's right for us to obey you or God. And Peter and John had before the Lord, their conscience made them think, no, I have to defy you and do this thing. So these pastors, I don't know, but did this pastor think before the Lord, worshiping Jesus is more important and we're commanded to do it and we're going to do it. And so both sides, as we talked it out, it's like, oh yeah, I can see that. Oh yeah, I can see that. Oh yeah. So it just helps to kind of fill in the blanks, I think.
Yeah. No, I what you're talking about reminds me a little bit of the revolution. Hundreds of years ago, you know, we had a revolution from Great Britain, and I've really wrestled personally with which side would I have been on.
Yeah.
Like, I like to think I would have been on, you know, the Patriot side, fighting the British. But the reality is, when I think about it, there are two sides to that.
Yeah.
And they were the governing authority, even though they were across the ocean. And I can look to passages like Romans 13, submit to your governing authorities, and been like, nope, God says I have to submit to the British.
Right.
Or I could have said, well, hey, my civil liberties are being
infringed
and gone to war. And I... don't know what I would do. I have a suspicion, but I don't even know if I would be completely confident in the decision I'd make.
and that's why I think it is so important for us to have these conversations with each other. I think at a time like this and a time like that, you have to have these conversations because it's not as clear, I think, as we might want it to be. And only by having these conversations can we put things in perspective. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like somebody else can help me have perspective that I don't have. Because I just think that it's very wise, even as Christians, that we have these conversations with each other. But just what you said, Justin, it's so important that we don't come into these conversations with, okay, I have already figured all of this out, and the point of this conversation is for me to convince you of the rightness of my cause.
Yep.
You can be confident in what you believe, but you have to be humble and submit it to the people around you because God will use the people around you to give you perspective, just like he'll use you to give the people around you perspective. That's why I think it's very important for us to have these conversations, but we can have them poorly,
mm-hmm.
and we need to learn how to have them well.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. One of the other, so kind of shifting our gaze here, one of the other traps I think we can fall in when we're gaining information, facts, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding is we can think that information and wisdom are our shield. They're the thing that are going to protect us in this life. You know, I make good, wise financial decisions, and my life is fiscally going to go well. Well, that's just not always the case. There's unpredicted and unplanned things in your budget that are going to come up. Someone might get sick and you have a medical bill. Car might break down, might get in a car accident. I mean, you can look at all these unpredictables and recognize that all the prep in the world in your current circumstances couldn't have gotten you ready for that. And so there's a passage in Proverbs 2 where it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores for us sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints." He is the shield to those who walk in integrity. Not our wisdom, not our facts, not our information. And so we just need to be very careful that we don't get consumed with seeking information under the illusion that, well, if I get enough wisdom, I'm going to be okay, and everything's going to be fine. And then that can puff us up and make us lofty. We just need to be very careful that the bedrock of our life is not my brain, and that it is my Lord and Savior. And remember that information is not going to transform or change us. And so that was kind of my last pitfall that we can fall into when we're trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, and I think that's so wise. You know, I love that proverb 2:6-8 there. And there's those three things that we were talking about earlier, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, you know, all three of those different things. But it says that all of them come from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of this, and we've said this every time we've had one of these conversations, we've eventually get around more than once to, we cannot overestimate our own intelligence or control.
Yeah.
God has a vast, unimaginable store of both, and he gives us some, but just some.
Yep.
Our knowledge, our understanding, and our control is very, very limited, and we have to be okay with that. If we're not okay with that, this becomes very stressful and tense.
Yeah.
And it kind of leads us into all of these pitfalls, I think. But if we really believe, no, Lord, you understand this, you have control of the situation, and you see me, and you have compassion for me. So God has control of the world, and God has compassion for me. If I really believe that, then he is my shield. And I don't have to completely understand this. I don't have to completely control it, because God does both of those things, and he's taking care of me. But that's turning over control of my well-being. I no longer have it all with me. I give it to God. And I think that's so much. If we don't have that, if we're unwilling or unable or we struggle to give God that right, that ascribe to him the power to do that, we're gonna fight with this. And all kinds of things in life. It's not just this COVID stuff. All of life is going to be a struggle for us if we're not willing to let God be God.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the analogy they use here, you know, the Lord is our shield. He's the shield to those who walk in integrity. You know, if our shield is our own understanding and somebody challenges that, they're chipping at our shield. It becomes deeply personal.
Yeah.
It's as if,
right.
When we come to our own opinions about how we handle, like how our country runs, and we stand on those things and we make them our identity, we stand on them as if they're the foundation and the bedrock of our lives, and people begin to challenge and chip away and maybe challenge it in a way where you start to question, the earth gives out beneath you.
Yes, it, yeah, right.
Yeah. And so you take it, you become deeply offended, and it becomes deeply personal when somebody pokes at it.
Right, and you have to defend who you are, basically, and it becomes a defense of my core beliefs or of who I am. Yeah, and that's why it gets so personal and angry, I think. I think you're right. You're totally right on there.
And so that really ties into that second thing. So the first thing was we're going to talk about, all right, we've gained some information, some facts, and some knowledge. Okay, what do we do with that? How do we handle that? And the second thing is how we treat each other. And so in Romans 14:10, I think we've referenced this in every COVID conversation, but in Romans 14:10, it says, why do you pass judgment on your brother, or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. And just remembering as believers, we don't pass judgment on our brothers and sisters. We have to have faith and confidence in our fellow believers standing before the Lord. And that doesn't mean we can't challenge our thinking like we've been talking about, or challenge opinions or thoughts, but it's not our place to come to the conclusion that what they've thought is sinful, or it's not our place to say, well, they're necessarily wrong, especially on these gray area issues. You know, we're not talking about black or white commandments that people are breaking here, but political discourse about handling COVID-19. And we have to be careful that when we have these conversations, when we're trying to talk to each other about this, that we're coming from a place of the fruits of the Spirit and not from our own flesh. In Galatians, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. We have all of those fruits of the Spirit, and if we start to see in our conversation with people around us that we're not exhibiting love, or we've lost joy in it, or we're losing our own peace or patience or kindness, you go through those things as like a check engine light. When those things start to go awry, we need to take a step back and ask ourselves, am I communicating with a brother or sister or a non-believer in love? Am I treating my brother or sister well? And as believers, we're called to be the salt and light of the world. That means we boldly proclaim truth. We have confidence in our own convictions, but we're humbly listening, we're considering, we're thinking, we're asking questions, we're having discussion. And so those are a number of things that have been really on my mind as I'm watching social media and watching the news and watching reporters call in and talk to Evers during a press conference or talk to Trump during a conference. We have to make sure that information, wisdom, and knowledge aren't the bedrock of our lives. We also need to make sure that we treat each other civilly as we discuss.
Yeah, right. And I think I think Romans 14 is a great case study for us in what's happening right now, because it talks about those exact things. You know, okay, you have differences of opinion here. How do you interact with each other? What do you do with this difference of opinion? I think this, you think that. Yeah. That's all that Romans 14 is about, and it's probably something that all of us should go and just take a look at and read, because it speaks to exactly this. I think this, you think that. What do I do with that? And he talks about love. He gets to that here in Romans 14. Look, I'm going to act in love. And my goal here, more than being right, more than you know, being vindicated, more than even all of us coming exactly to the right conclusion, it's love. A long time ago, somebody said to me, or I heard someone say, that unity is more important than the best idea. And I've thought about that a lot, and I think it's true. unity, love, our relationship is more important than exact knowledge. And so often we sacrifice relationships on the altar of doctrine or ideas. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. And I suspect as, you know, we navigate the things that are going on in our state and our county and our country, we're going to not agree with whatever decisions made. We all lean one direction or another. And I'm sure there's a few people out there who think that everything was handled perfectly. But I think in general, we're going to look at Governor Evers here in Wisconsin, and we're going to say, that was a misstep. Or President Trump, that was a misstep. And we have the opportunity to show them grace, recognize they're humans. Right. They're not Jesus. They're not God. They don't know all of the right things to be doing.
Yeah.
And to show them grace in that. And yeah, that it would be really easy to find myself upset and judging my governor or my president,
right? Yeah,
as they act in their limited information.
That's a great point to recognize that nobody knows, and it gets back to what we were talking about. You know, God knows everything. The president, neither the president nor the governor nor the surgeon general nor anybody else knows everything.
Yeah,
and so they're going to do what they do. Well intentioned, mistake, who knows? But if we hold them to a standard of perfection, we're being hypocritical because we don't want to be held to that standard.
No, and if we're honest with ourselves, we don't know the right answer either.
No, but
we think we do.
Yes, we all think we do. We're all pretty sure that we know 98% of it, and there's 2% I don't know. But I think that's a big deal in this, is if you're going to have these conversations, you have to be willing to be confident in what you believe, but willing to let other people speak to it.
Yep.
And willing to recognize that you don't see the whole picture and that there's something that you're missing. Yeah, and that's a place of humility that I think we have to come to. That if we're going to have these conversations well, we have to come into it from this place of humility. I don't know everything. I don't see everything. And that's just that's a character issue. It's we have to be men and women of character first before we're men and women of great deep knowledge and understanding.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you have any more thoughts on that, Rob?
Oh my gosh, it's such a I'll just say this. I think it's a good conversation to have. I do have a question for you. I have a question and then a comment. How do you deal with it? Like when you're going to have a conversation with someone, in Romans 14, Paul says an interesting thing. He says there, okay, I know certain things to be a fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. He comes into it with the mindset. Well, let me just read here. He says, I'll have to find it here quickly.
That's in 1 Corinthians 14?
14, yeah. I just read it this morning. Let me find it. I'm looking here. Okay, here in verse 14, he's talking here about this whole idea, kind of the entry into this conversation of having discussions with people who have different ideas. It's mm-hmm. foods, it's meat sacrificed to idols,
sure.
Or certain days are more holy than others. But in verse 14 of Romans 14, Paul says this: as one who is in the Lord, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in of itself. So he makes a categorical statement.
Yeah.
That here's the truth of this argument. Some people think that food sacrificed to idols is bad. I know that it's not.
Yep.
That's an interesting place to be. How do we handle that? Because all of us probably think when we go into this, we mentioned this, all of us probably think like Paul, well, okay, there's a difference here and one of us is wrong, but it's not me. And we can look here and say, well, yeah, see, that's what Paul said. He's mm-hmm. right, and I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be kind to you and everything, but it can become condescending. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where I'm going with this. Do you kind of know where I'm going? It's just interesting to me that Paul was convinced he was right, and we can think that. Is that, how do we handle that?
Where is it in Corinthians? And so that was Romans 14. Where is it in Corinthians, do you recall, where he talks about, you know, eating idols or food sacrificed to idols, and that he won't do it because he doesn't want to cause his brother to stumble?
Well, that's here in Romans 14, too. Yeah, anyway? He talks about that. But I think you're right. It's in 1 Corinthians as well, but he does talk about it here.
Do not, in verse 20, do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another one stumble by what he eats.
Yeah. It is the next verse, it is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall.
Yep.
So I guess I'm answering my own question here a little bit. Paul believed he was right. Yep. He said, before the Lord, I see the truth here. But that wasn't the most important thing to him. And I guess that's the answer to the question. You may think you're right, but that can't be the most important thing. I think about in 2 Timothy 2:25, he says, I'll look it up here. He says an interesting thing about that. He's talking about when people have a different idea. Verse 24, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Mm. Don't quarrel. Be kind, able to teach, explain yourself, but not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. So two things that I take away from all of this. If I'm going to have these conversations, number one, I have to be willing to be instructed. Mm-hmm. In other words, I have to come into it with the mindset that I don't see everything, and maybe my understanding can be built up here. But the second thing is, even if my understanding is better than yours, or if my understanding is more clear than yours, that's not the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Our relationship is more important than the best idea.
Yeah, and I think the third thing I would draw from that is talks about that they may be instructed by the Lord.
Right.
And it is important for us to let that person stand before the judgment seat of the Lord. And you had this conversation, you had this dialogue, you did it well, and now you can leave it.
Yeah.
Because it's not your responsibility, it's not my responsibility to convince or change someone else's mind.
Exactly. In Romans 14, you then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. And just to recognize that I'm going to stand before God someday, and he's going to critique me.
And rightfully.
Rightfully so.
Yep.
And Rob, you are right about this. And Rob, I can't believe you really thought this. that's going to happen. And that's going to happen to you too.
Yep.
But whatever consequence comes of that will be between you and the Lord. Me mm-hmm. and the Lord, not between me and you.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what Paul is saying there.
Yeah, yeah. And I find great comfort in that, where, okay, I've come to an opinion, and we've had dialogue and discourse and discussion, and we've worked through it, and I've maybe been refined a little bit, or maybe I'm still completely convinced of myself, and I think you're wrong. I find great comfort knowing that God knows, and whether I'm right or wrong, or you're right or wrong, that it's between us and the Lord, and it's not between us. And so we can have a discussion and disagree, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Because my foundation isn't on the shield of wisdom and knowledge. My foundation is on Christ.
Amen, yes.
And you haven't actually attacked me. You've attacked an idea, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You're not attacking the bedrock of my life.
Exactly. And I think that's so important that we put this in perspective, that, you know, it's so easy to perspective is an interesting thing, and what I mean by putting this, like this whole COVID-19 thing, the disease and the responses, we have to put it in perspective. And it's like, okay, we're sitting here in a room right now and people can't see this, but I have my coffee cup here, and if I hold my coffee cup an inch from my nose,
he's doing this right now.
I'm doing it right now. This coffee cup dominates everything else in the room. it's the biggest thing. I can't, everything is, yeah, I have to see everything through this coffee cup, and I can't see a whole lot of stuff because the coffee cup is right in front of my eyes and it seems way bigger than it really is. But if I set it down on the table and take a step back, well, the coffee cup is still here. It's still a thing, but now it becomes in the right perspective, and I see Justin and I see Luke and I see this coffee cup. It's not as big as I thought it was in the first place. And so I think what we've been talking about here is that as we have these conversations, let's keep things in the right perspective. The most important thing in the room is your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
The second most important thing in the room, I think, is your relationship with the people around you.
Amen.
And these decisions and the health issues and all that stuff, it's a thing. It's there. But it needs to fit in the right place, in the right perspective.
Yeah.
One more thing I would say,
okay,
is I think it's good to have these conversations. I really, truly do. As Christians, I think it's good for us to have these conversations. Just like I was talking about our life group last night, as Christians, you know, two people came to a certain thing with different perspectives, and it was very good to get that talked out because you see, oh, yeah, what you're thinking, that's true. And I was missing that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, what you're thinking, that's true. And I was missing that. We really can sharpen each other as Christians. I think it's very good for us to talk about this. Is this a good idea? How do we respond to it? What does God say? It's exceedingly good for us to do. So I would encourage us as Christians to have it. Now, we need to do it well, like we've been talking about. But even as citizens, I think it's good for us to have these conversations. We live in a country where our ideas are important. And our ideas as citizens can shape policy. That's an amazingly wonderful thing. I think as citizens, we should have these conversations. Now, I'm not, again, we're not, you know, fomenting rebellion, but you might agree or disagree with the governor's orders. By all means, have these conversations. Now, you need to do it well. Do it with gentleness and respect and all of that stuff, with humility. But have the conversations because it's a freedom we have that if you don't use it, it's like a muscle, I think. Freedom is like a muscle. If you don't use it, it atrophies. We have the freedom to have these conversations, to gain perspective from each other, and to shape policy. I just think it's a good conversation for us to have.
Yeah. Yeah, what you're talking about reminds me in 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." And we don't have to be afraid to have discussions.
Right.
It's not me who's being attacked when we poke at thinkings and ideas and perspectives. It's that idea, it's that thought that is being poked at. And so I don't have to be afraid, and I can display power and confidence in my opinion. I can display love for the person who I am discussing with, and I can display self-control and know, okay, here's a good point to stop this conversation, or here's a better way to say this that isn't going to, you know, poke the other person as if their idea was their identity.
Right.
And so, yeah, we can be wise in how we handle these discussions. Yes. For sure. Well, do you have any more thoughts? Otherwise, we can wrap up here.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, I had one last little verse in Ecclesiastes 3:5. It says, "There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing." And I thought that was really fitting considering
social distancing.
Social distancing. So maybe that was prophetical, maybe not.
Oh, my.
But remember, there's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing.
It's really hard to give people hugs on Zoom. I just haven't been able to figure it out yet.
Even as an introvert, I will admit, I miss hugs and I miss a lot of those things. So, all right, well, thank you everyone for joining us this morning. I hope you guys have a great day and God bless you.